Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is the account of David versus Goliath, which you just heard. David versus Goliath. What comes to mind when you hear about those two? Is it a little shepherd boy who defeats this giant-sized warrior? The ultimate underdog who pulled off an incredible victory? A Bible hero whom God gave superpowers? These are kind of like the images I had of David and Goliath as a little boy reading an arch book. I grew up imagining David defeating giants and able to accomplish amazing feats. Well, that view of the story, as much as I loved it, didn't really make David an example that I could follow. He had these miraculous powers, these abilities from the Lord. I could maybe, fantasize about that, but it wasn't something I could really see myself doing. But now, many years later, after digging more deeply into this text, I have a different perspective on David versus Goliath. This is a more nuanced understanding, but it has an application that I was missing before. And this different understanding of the story is what I want to share with you, and I hope that you find it helpful as well. You just heard the essential parts read over here by Owen. Well, here's a brief recap. The Philistine and Israelite armies were assembled for battle on opposite ridges of a valley. Every day, this huge warrior, Goliath of Gath, came forward, shouting challenges and threats against Israel. He called for an opponent to come and fight him in a death match. And he said, whoever wins the match, his army will be the victor. I'm not sure where he had the authority to say that, but he did. And everybody on the loser's side would become the slaves of the victors. Well, the men of Israel, including King Saul himself, which if you believe some of the variants was kind of comparable in size, but we won't go into that today. They were all intimidated by Goliath, and no one stepped forward. Well, David was not involved at first. As the youngest in his family, he had the job of tending the sheep of the family, but he was assigned to take provisions to the army, to his brothers on the front line. And when he did, he overheard these threats coming from Goliath, threats against the army of Israel. And David was dismayed that no one was willing to take on Goliath. And what was particularly troubling to David was how Goliath was mocking the armies of the Lord, of Yahweh, the God of Israel. David was not afraid of Goliath. When he saw the fear of his people, David was moved to take on the challenge. Well, Saul, the king of Israel, got word of David's willingness to fight. And initially, he was skeptical. Skeptical that this young shepherd boy could match up against a mighty warrior. But David wasn't intimidated. He had experience. Maybe we should call him a young man, not a young boy. He had experience defending his flock against lions and bears. And he made a strong case to Saul. And Saul was persuaded that he should let David give this a try. Well, he gave David his armor and his sword, wanting to be helpful. And David gave it a try. He put it on, but then he declined, saying, "I have not tested these." You see, David had experience using his own materials, and it would be too risky to try something else at this point. So David set out to take on Goliath using his own weapon. And we know what that was, a sling with a stone. We also know that Goliath had very thick armor and a large spear and other weapons to go along with his own very large size. But again, David was not afraid as he approached Goliath. As this large warrior threatened and cursed David, David confidently replied, "I come in the name of the Lord whom you defied. Yahweh will deliver you into my hand, for the battle is his." David then quickly went to work and slung a stone that went deep into the Philistine's forehead. Goliath fell to the ground, and David took his sword and cut off his head. The men of Philistia, seeing their champion defeated, fled, and the men of Israel, inspired by David, pursued and overtook them. Again, notice, throughout the story, David did not lack confidence in facing what the others thought was too much, too dangerous, too frightening. Well, there are two chief reasons for David's confidence. One is that David trusted in the Lord, and this is absolutely crucial. The other is that David had confidence in his ability and his experience. And that is significant in applying the meaning of this passage to us, as I will explain. But first, consider how the promises of the Lord gave David confidence. It was recorded a couple of chapters earlier, and we heard it here in this chapter, in this chapel, that God had chosen David to be the next king of Israel. He would eventually replace Saul. And he was chosen, why? Because he was so big? No, because he trusted in the Lord. The point is very clear in the account of his anointing, that it was because his heart trusted in the Lord that he was chosen. And we see this reflected in many places in Scripture, including in Psalms, like Psalm 57. Hear what David wrote. "I cry out to the Lord Most High, to the God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. But be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over the earth. My heart is steadfast, O God." You see, David trusted in the Lord to deliver his people. And that leads to the second reason David had no fear in facing Goliath. David's calm confidence in the Lord enabled him to see that his God-given natural abilities and practiced skills were up to the task. Unlike other biblical accounts that reveal God's miraculous intervention in the lives of his people, this story is not about a superhuman physical feat, but rather about David's faith and then the use of ordinary skills for the task at hand. Let me say that again. This is about faith, not superpowers. This is about confidence in the Lord and the freedom that gives to use one's normal abilities. Think about it. David's trust in the Lord keeps him calm even when he is feeling pressure, and so he is able to accurately assess the situation. This leads him to determine that as an accurate sling thrower, he has a good chance against someone with a heavy spear and armor who's not very mobile. As long as there is an opening for a stone to hit his opponent in a vulnerable place, he could see himself doing this. You see, slingers, like archers, work with lighter weapons, but in ancient battles, they were no less deadly because of their accuracy. We know slingers are key players in these battles. Like in Judges 20, we read, among Benjamite warriors were 700 chosen men who were left-handed. Why left-handed? I'm not sure. Everyone could sling a stone at a hare, a rabbit, and not miss. A very small, quick animal. And in 1 Chronicles 12, we read, among the mighty men who helped David in war were fighters who sling stones with either the right or the left hand. And we know a little bit about these weapons. We know that these stones were typically the size of baseballs, and they weighed about a pound, is the estimate. We also know that they were probably thrown about 100 miles an hour by a good slinger. Now, if you think about it, a baseball weighs what? It weighs about a third of a pound. Imagine getting hit in the head by a professional baseball player with a baseball. Now imagine getting hit in the head at the same speed and same velocity with a stone weighing three times that amount. Yeah, that could be very much lethal. And it's important to note that no one questioned David's ability to do what he said he was doing in protecting his sheep. He defeated these lions and bears with this equipment. And so it's reasonable to think that Goliath would be no more difficult to subdue than they. Again, think about it. Oh, there's one more thing to realize here, and we can imagine this. David had an advantage because of Goliath's arrogance. His pride blinded him to the threat that this young and nimble slinger posed in battle. He had armor, sure, but as we said, all David needed was an opening on Goliath's head, and he obviously had that. Well, the account of the actual contest in the scriptures require only a few words. It was quickly completed in a matter of seconds. It was really no contest because David, in fact, had the superior position. And by the way, I checked this out with David Adams, who did archaeological work on this site. What was key was that David was not intimidated by the threats. It was his faith in the Lord that enabled him to meet this giant-sized challenge and effectively use his skills. So now, reading this text today, as opposed to when I was a young lad, I draw strength and hope from it in a renewed way. I no longer see David as a superhero, but as one who trusted in the Lord to provide for him. This confidence enabled him to use his natural abilities to carry out the work he had to do. And that is something, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the giver of faith, that you can do too. Think about it. We all face intimidating challenges at times. Perhaps you have a circumstance you are facing that tempts you to be anxious right now. Something going on. Maybe it's a class assignment that you're struggling to see how you're going to get done in time. Or maybe it's a family struggle that is overwhelming. Or maybe it's a task, a project for work that you have here that seems very daunting. We can relate to those kinds of big challenges. And for a number of you, It involves future ministry calls and assignments. I'm not going to say the word of what's happening in the future, but knowing that you may be sent somewhere of which you do not know and have never heard, knowing that you're going to be the spiritual leader in some cases of people much older with a lot more life experience than you, knowing that ministry very much is a complicated and challenging task at times, you may wonder, can I really handle all of that? Well, let the account of David versus Goliath, this mature and more nuanced understanding, give you confidence that you can do this. These challenges you can face as you trust in the promises of Jesus for you, knowing that the greater Son of David, Jesus your Lord, died and rose to save you, having faith in the promise given to you in holy baptism, which we just sang about, knowing that promise, that mercy of God for you, means that nothing can be against you because God is for you. Knowing that, you can let the fears and intimidation of even what seem like big challenges fall by the wayside as you focus on the Lord. You can take a deep breath. I imagine David did this. Exhale. Maybe make the sign of the cross, which I don't think David did, but you can assess the situation. Okay, am I capable of giving this a try? Do I have the ability to teach this Bible class, lead a children's ministry, provide spiritual care to a person in need? Is what I learned at the seminary from these professors and on vicarage and field work, internship, did that prepare me? You can assess the situation for what it really is. And in many cases, you can say, yes, I've been preparing for this. Now, there will be times when you will need to say, well, I don't have that skill perfected yet. I need more experience. And you can work on that as you calmly trust in the promises of God for you. But fear and intimidation, which the devil is always about, and like what paralyzed Saul and the army of Israel, does not need to hold you back or hold you down. Trusting in the promises of Jesus for you, you can give them a serious shot, or yes, I'm going to say it, a sling like David. That is what served him in the battle against Goliath. And that is what can serve you in carrying out your callings and service to the Lord. No superpowers needed. Well, except the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, which will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise.